There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey guys, it's Allie for the Hollywood Life podcast. We're back with another week. And of course, before we get into our wonderful guest today, we are going to talk about some of the biggest stories. And there was a lot that happened this weekend. So Bonnie is here with me to chat all about it. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, Allie. Yeah, it was a surprisingly busy weekend for really a long weekend. But one of the biggest stories I'm a little skeptical kind of about, and that is Kourtney Kardashian holding up a sign at a concert that her hubby, Travis Barker, was playing, you know, with Blink 182. Sorry. And saying, "I'm pregnant, Travis, I'm pregnant." And then they had a big spotlight come on her and they were showing it all over all the big screens. And I think it was supposed to be that that's how she's telling him. And I'm really happy she's pregnant. I think that's great. But there's no way that wasn't just all set up and that he didn't already know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so the announcement itself where she had the sign that said, "Travis, I'm pregnant," is actually taken from Blink 182's music video for All the Things. And so, yes, he probably knew. That was almost her announcement to the world by reenacting his old music video using that sign, but actually being pregnant. So, yes, he did probably know, especially because she does have a bump showing and they did
a real big bump. I mean, she showed it on social media the next day and she looks minimum 5 months, if not 6 months pregnant. Yeah. But even in the where she's holding up the sign, like if you actually really look, she was wearing like a bodysuit and it there was some skin showing before her pants and you could see the bump there too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I definitely think that that Travis knew that she was pregnant. I'm sure
well,
that
he would have to be blind
together
and not touch her to not know.
Yes, but it was an adorable pregnancy announcement. Yeah. I really loved how they went about that.
That was very cool.
And I thought that it was adorable. And, you know, as we know, she's been trying for a long time. They were doing IVF.
Oh, wow.
They stopped IVF. And so I'm curious if they picked it back up or maybe, you know, this happened naturally for them. And that would be really exciting either way. But she definitely seems far, far along. I have some friends that are pregnant and they were like, she looks about 12 weeks. Or more.
Oh, more.
I'm sorry. They said definitely more than 12 weeks. I would think you're close to 5 months there.
I mean, she's had three other kids, so you tend to get bigger sooner.
Right.
But
right.
Still, she's a petite person. I think she's a minimum of 5 months, if not even farther along. So she's been keeping that hidden. But you know what? It's you know, you wear the right tops, you can keep things pretty well hidden.
Mm-hmm. Hidden.
Even when you're for 5 and 6 months along.
Yeah. But that was just really exciting news. It was fun to wake up to on Saturday morning and see her holding that sign up and cheering and yelling. It was very cute.
Well, and it is really sweet that, you know, this is a second marriage for both of them. And Kourtney is 44 and absolutely you can get pregnant without using IVF. It just depends on the woman. And I'm not sure. Well, she maybe will share because it's the Kardashians and they share everything. So she may share whether they did IVF or it happened naturally. But it does seem that ever since they've been together, even, you know, as soon as they got engaged, it seemed like they really wanted a kid together.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think that their exes, both Travis's ex, Shannon Mogler, and Kourtney's ex, Scott Disick, are being very supportive I mean, as they should be, they have no reason not to be. And Us Weekly had reported that Scott even called Courtney to congratulate her. And so, you know, that's all good.
I bet who's really excited, though, are all the kids.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's always fun to have, like, a baby among, I mean, it'll be their seventh in this blended family, which is crazy.
They're all really excited because, you know, even Rain, he's, like, at least five now. So they're old enough to appreciate the excitement of having a new baby. And she will have lots of babysitters.
Oh, that's true. That is true. And, you know, it'll be maybe kind of close in age with Chloe's newborn son, with Kylie's heir. So, like, there's definitely, you know, young kids around, all running around there for sure.
Yes. I mean, those Carr Jenners could have their own little nursery school. They've got so many kids.
That's true. Now, so to some other news that happened this weekend. Dean McDermott and Tori Spelling posted a like separation post on Instagram, essentially, that has since been deleted, which is kind of weird too. Bonnie, what did you think about that? That was something else you were skeptical about.
No, I wasn't skeptical. They've definitely had marital issues and they go back many years. I mean, I think they really go back to when he was caught cheating with a woman up in Canada. When he was up there taping a show, and he ended up confessing that to Tori. And then they basically did that whole reality show, which was kind of about going through therapy and getting their marriage back together. And then in the last couple of years, they were separated again. But then I was surprised because they've been together a lot. Like, they clearly were living together again, and it looked like they were much happier, like they had maybe worked through what their problems were and had recommitted to the marriage. And they posted a lot of pictures with all five of their kids. I mean, it's a lot of kids. You want to keep a family together. So that's why I was surprised that they announced that they'd split. I wasn't expecting it now. I thought that they were on the other side of that.
Right. Because there was definitely rumors last year that there was issues within their marriage. And I think Tori was open and talked about that. And so did Dean on like some podcasts that they have and stuff. But it was definitely a very sudden announcement, especially to be like on Instagram on a Saturday and then for it to be deleted. So I'm very curious what's to come with that. I mean, maybe they're working on it. Maybe the publicist was like, take that down. Let's do a real announcement or something. You know, I don't know. I'm curious what's going to happen there. Because also it was just Dean posted. Tori didn't post.
She didn't post at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah, now he's deleted it, I saw.
Right. Well,
you know, it's, well, let's hope that what it is that they again are going to try and make it work. Because they have been together a long time. And I got to say, five kids is a lot of kids. It's a big family. Mm-hmm. And they've been open about issues that their children have had, that some of their children have been bullied. And that's happened to more than one of their children. And so, I don't know, as a kid, like, you really want your parents to stay together. I mean, you don't want them to stay together if they're miserable, unhappy. But, you know, if parents have issues that can be worked out, I mean, often they're really glad that they worked them out and stayed together, and that the kids are, you know, thrilled to have their parents together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, in our podcast with Brooke Eden that everybody will hear, she was saying that 50% of marriages end in divorce, apparently. So, I mean, this might had a 1 in 2 chance of working, I guess.
Yeah. It's, listen, there's certain things that, I mean, I've been married a long time, and marriage is not always perfect. You're engaged. I mean, you definitely go through periods where you don't get along as well, or where you're having issues. But I mean, I just think that that kids really want the stability of their family.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can, and I hope for them, because there's been a lot of love between them as well as issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that the reason he took it down is because they've decided that they're going to get some more counseling. They're really going to try and make it work.
Yeah. And then some more news that came out of this weekend. Bebe Rexha was performing in New York City, and in like her last song of the night, a fan, I don't want to call them a fan, a concert attendee. Yes, they threw their phone at her and it hit her in the face, and she like goes down on her knees, and like the personnel take her off stage. She had to go to the hospital and got 3 stitches in her eye, or on, you know, on top of her eye and her eyebrow. And the attacker was arrested. He's from New Jersey, and he charged with assault. 27-year-old guy from New Jersey. Terrible. I was shocked.
Terrible. Shocking. Disgusting. Yeah. And she posted photos of herself to let her fans know she's okay, but she's got a big black eye, as well as, you know, the incision where she had stitches. I mean, you can tell it's really swollen and sore. Like, what an a-hole.
Absolutely.
Who does that?
And, you know, in an interview, like with police, when asked why he did it, the guy said, I thought it would be funny.
Funny.
Like, what a screwed up human. I actually have not been able to stop thinking about this, that this happened. I actually can't. I have been so, what a terrible thing to do to somebody. And why would you pay for a ticket to go see somebody that you wanted to like throw, like hurt, like throw something at? It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, this is not the same as throwing flowers on stage, or girls who throw their bras and their underwear at guys they're in love with. Like,
her those are soft at her.
Objects. And you shouldn't even throw anything on stage, but
right.
I just can't even think of how horrible that is. But there's so many crazy people. Yeah. I'm so glad that he was caught.
Me too.
And that he's been charged with something, with assault. And I hope it's, like, I think there's different levels of assault, but I hope that it's a pretty major one, because she was injured.
Oh, she was super injured, had to end the concert. You know, all of these other concert goers who paid to attend and are her fans and like attended to support her, you know, had their night ended early. And I do think it was like towards the end of her set, but still it was like her most popular song. And like to be pelted with what do you need? These people need to protect themselves.
Plastic.
Like, it's Chris Rock was, I mean, obviously with Will Smith, that was a little different, but like, you know, I mean, Dave Chappelle was attacked with a knife, like wielding person on stage. I mean, these people, like their security, but like from throwing, it's terrible.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of love is coming her way. I saw that, you know, Katy Perry, you know, sent a message to her on Instagram, and John Stamos. Like, there were a lot of big names.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are people that also perform on stage and know that it could be dangerous.
Yeah. And it shouldn't be, because they're performing, they're doing a service for their fans. They don't have to tour. They don't have to do that. They do it for their fans. Mm-hmm. And it's just so upsetting that like one fan, or not one attendee, like ruined it for everybody else. Also, what were you thinking? Like, did you think you were going to get your phone back? Like, she was going to be like, oh, here.
Yeah.
I mean, he chucked it. It wasn't like a toss, take a selfie and send it back to me. He chucked it at her face.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, what an idiot. They've got your phone.
Yeah.
That means they know exactly who you are. You're not getting away. I mean, I'm sure he got caught just because people around him grabbed him and held him for security. But still, if they hadn't, they could identify him through his phone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, plus I know like a bunch of people had said in videos and stuff that the other attendees around him like completely turned him in, like held him until the security came. So that he like gave himself, he was like proud of it. Ugh, what a terrible, terrible story. But we're so happy that BB's okay. Hopefully she's not afraid to get back out on the stage.
It's very traumatic.
Like very traumatic.
Yeah, she might be afraid. I wouldn't blame her.
Me either. Me either, Bonnie. And then, you know, our final story of the day, we're going to chat a little bit about Harry and Meghan. Speaking about throwing things, Kelly Osbourne threw some insults.
Whoa, major shade. Major shade.
And it's all coming after the couple's production company, R12 Audio, they broke off their $20 million Spotify deal that they had signed in the midst of the pandemic.
Podcasting, yes.
So it was their, they had like a podcasting deal with Spotify, and they only produced
12 episodes.
Yeah, 12 episodes, one podcast, and they were supposed to be doing a heck of a lot more than that for 20 mil. So yeah, Bonnie, what are your thoughts? What did you hear that Kelly said?
Oh, she was like, she's sick of hearing Harry whine and complain and, you know, be a big crybaby. And, you know, life is hard. We all have problems, you know, just shut up already. You know, you're white. You're so privileged. You've got white privilege. And it's interesting, though, because her mother has also dissed Harry and has defended Piers Morgan, who's a British journalist. And I felt that Piers Morgan really went over the line, and he was attacking Meghan Markle and, you know, saying things about her race. And it's why Sharon lost her gig on The Talk, because she defended Piers. So that family is not fond of Meghan and Harry.
Well, and they're Brits.
Yes.
And that, well, their way of thinking is very much aligned with how the British people feel about them.
Yeah, as a whole. Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, and I've got some friends that are also of British origin.
Yeah.
And they have no sympathy for Harry and Meghan. It's just like, if you have problems, you keep them to yourself. You know, why bring all your dirty laundry out into the public? It's the Queen. It's the royal family. You're so lucky to be a member. Like, they really don't see the issues at all. I see the issues. Like, I understand. I really understand Harry's point of view, and I'm empathetic to him and Meghan. And I agree that it was a good idea that he left, and instead of subjecting his wife to the kind of racist attacks that were coming her way there. But listen, Kelly's entitled to her opinion. And right. it feels like they got piled on this weekend, Meghan and Harry, because between Kelly Osbourne going on a podcast and slamming them, and then in terms of the Spotify deal, the Spotify head of podcast innovation and monetization called them grifters after they ended their $20 million multi-year deal to make podcasts with Spotify. Now, why they did that, I do wonder, because it was a mutual agreement.
Yeah, it was a mutual agreement between the two. I mean, it's interesting. They produced one season of Archetypes, the Meghan Markle podcast. They did 12 episodes. And then after this news broke, it came out that Meghan actually didn't even do the interviews. She was later edited in asking the questions, but her staffers were the ones actually interviewing Serena Williams, Paris Hilton, what? Andy Cohen. Yeah.
Really? Like,
that they weren't even really doing the work. So it's a very...
That doesn't make for as good an interview. Hey, Ali, you and I, when we do our podcast interviews, we are there. And we're doing research.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, maybe they didn't feel like they had enough time on their hands. I don't really know what else they're doing. But that, you know, I find it very interesting, Bonnie. Like, I keep trying to be on their side. And then, like, stuff keeps happening, though. Like, now in America, where people are, like, getting rid of them. with their within their companies and stuff. Like the like Megan went through two producers at Spotify during her podcast, her 12 episodes. She like this $20 million deal has ended like 1 year in, one podcast in. Their Netflix stuff started to fall through and they had a new director come in for their documentary. So like a new producer. So it's interesting to me that like we keep defending them, but like maybe there's some truth to like what everybody else is saying about them.
Well, listen, their Netflix documentary did very well. I watched it. It was good. And
her podcast unseated was number one on Spotify.
Yeah, I know. It did very well too. So, I mean, they can draw an audience and they can create a quality product. You have to find the right people to work with. So I don't think the fact that they went through a couple of directors, I mean, that's not, I don't think, abnormal in the entertainment industry. You got to find the right team, and they're new at this. But still, I wonder why they wouldn't be more committed to getting the work done on the Spotify podcast. Hey, for $20 million, we'd be there.
Yeah, Allie, Spotify.
Want to get in touch with Spotify and say we're available?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take a deal.
Some money to throw around.
Yeah, we'll do it for 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a bargain.
Not a dollar less, though.
Yeah.
$10.
$10.
No. Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I'm starting to, like, I keep defending them. And then I'm starting to be like, wait, but this, but that, but this, but that. Like, this, they kind of keep getting in trouble, man.
But they're also, like, under a pretty glaring spotlight, too. And we don't know what went on with Spotify. Maybe Spotify was being super difficult. I don't know. I don't know. I think there's two sides to every story. I hope they continue with Netflix, because I'd like to see more. I'd love to see them produce the way Oprah produces, you know, really find great stories,
right,
that care about, bring was. Quality entertainment to us.
That was what the plan was.
Yeah.
I don't really know what happened. I'm sure that more will come out in the following days, but Kelly Osbourne definitely seems to be very impressed about it.
Yeah. I mean, even like, but you know, they've had successes like Harry's book Spare has been a mega bestseller.
Yeah.
I mean, that must be bringing in a ton of money. He had like was on number one on the bestseller list for weeks.
Yeah.
And it was a very readable book. It was really interesting. And his collaborator said he was great to work with. And I think she's got a book in the works, so that'll be interesting. I don't know. I don't want to get down on them.
Okay.
I feel like they had, I think it was very, he had a super traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between not just losing his mother, but being in the public eye. And I just think he was very alone, you know, really lonely and really hard to have paparazzi. I mean, think about the celebrities that complain about paparazzi taking pictures of their kids, you know, Jen Garner and Reese Witherspoon when her kids were younger. And that was like 100 times worse for him. And he was expected to put up with it, like not have a parent. Diana tried to protect him, but he lost her when he was 12, and his dad did not protect him at all from that.
No, I completely understand, but doesn't mean that you can be difficult to work with. Like, that's...
We don't really know that, so...
Yeah, two sides of the paper, no matter how thin.
Exactly.
Yes.
But we are available, Spotify.
We are available, Spotify. And speaking of which, we will segue into our next interview with country artist Brooke Eden. Guys, it's a good one, so make sure you...
Really good. And it's, you know, special for Pride Month, and she's so open about herself and her marriage, and it's just such a great interview.
It really is. So tune into that coming up next, and come back next Tuesday for another episode of the Hollywood Life Podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. And we've got a super special guest here today, and there's just going to be so much to discuss with her. But before I introduce you, I'm going to say hello to my co-anchor, Allie Stagnita. Hello, Allie.
Hi, Bonnie. Yes, very excited about today's guest. I feel like I always say that. I'm like always excited about our guest, but I really am. I think we have great people on this show. And so guest is from a genre that I love, hold near and dear to my heart. And I just really love what she is doing for the country music genre, what she's doing for music in general and the world. And so I'm really excited to introduce her on the show, Bonnie. I'll let you take the honors.
Well, you've definitely given hints, big hints. So without us talking.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Talking more. Let's all say hello to country star Brooke Eden. Hello, Brooke.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi. We're so happy to have you on the show. You know, you've got so much news. You have this incredible new single that came out June 9th called Outlaw Love, and a new four-track EP. And Outlaw Love is such a beautiful song. I mean, it's really, really catchy. And the videos from it are amazing, but you know, it's very personal to you. Do you want to tell us and our audience what it's about? I'd rather have you tell us in your own words. Yeah,
totally. Well, the song stemmed because I was in a co-write with three incredible writers, and we were talking about how Hillary and I actually flew to California to get married because we got married right after Roe v. Wade got overturned. And then the Supreme Court justice came out saying that marriage equality might be next. And, you know, we live here in Tennessee. We were supposed to get married in the state of Tennessee. But then when that kind of threat happened from the Supreme Court justice, we decided to go ahead and legalize our wedding in California, our marriage in California. And I was writing with three straight writers, and they were just like, wow, this is insane that you even have to think about what state you're getting married in. Like, marriage should be legal everywhere. And so that's how the, you know, let them board up all the chapels, say that we ain't welcome there, we'll just fly to California, put some flowers in our hair. It came from real life struggles, real life things that were happening, and real life circumstances that my wife and I had to deal with. And so we just thought it was really important with all this anti-LGBTQ legislation. There's over 500 anti-LGBTQ laws and bills that are on the table right now in America, which is such an insane number.
And that's just for this year.
That's just this year.
Yeah. And we're barely halfway through the year.
I know. Can you imagine how it will be, how many there will be in December? I mean, it's blowing my mind. And it's so hard because, you know, I'm in this community, I'm in the LGBTQ plus community, and I see how much love there is here. There is no place that I have felt this supported and this loved from everyone, and everyone feels that way, than in this community, because we all have empathy. We all know what it feels like to be the odd one out. And so it's such a loving community, and yet there's so much hate coming toward our community. So when, you know, we were writing this song, we wanted it to be filled with bliss. Like, that's why the melody is as happy as it is in the chorus, because we wanted people to be able to sing along and feel anthemic about it. But we also wanted to, you know, tackle real life issues. And so we did that in the music video, where, you know, I'm standing in front of all these headlines that are real headlines. in America right now. And then you get to see the beautiful love between these couples in the video. And so it was just really important for me to show the reality of what our life looks like and how every single day we're faced with more and more legislation against us and more hate while we're just living our lives and loving each other.
Yeah, that's just always the wildest thing to me about it all, is that this community is really so peaceful, so joyful, so full of love. And all they are asking for is the ability to love who they love. And it is fought back with so much hate. And it's just the opposite of what everybody in this community stands for and what they give to others. Yeah. So it's just always like, I will never understand it. It makes me feel sick.
Well, we are all God's creatures and God is supposed to love us all. And so, and why do these, you know, these politicians, particularly from one, I mean, it's really one party that is proposing all this, this legislation. And how does it affect them in their personal lives, who other people love? I don't understand it either. But as you said, Tennessee has been, a hotbed of anti-LGBTQ laws. They were the first to pass an anti-drag law, which is now, fortunately,
didn't get passed.
Well, it got passed, but the Supreme Court the state Supreme Court has put an injunction.
Yes. They've called it unconstitutional, which it is.
Good.
I hope creates a precedence for other states as well, because, you know, if it's unconstitutional in Tennessee, then it should also be unconstitutional in Florida and anywhere else. And they try to create a drag ban.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's so ridiculous that, you know, Tennessee legislature is not concerned about trying to protect children from gun violence. Didn't they pass this law after the school shooting, that major school shooting in Nashville?
Which, the drag ban law?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all happening like around the same time. What's so interesting is my wife and I were talking about raising kids this morning, and I got my ears pierced when I was a baby. Like, I didn't even, my parents just got my ears pierced. Hillary had to wait until she was like 8 to get her ears pierced. And so we were talking like, when would we let our kid get their ears pierced, you know? And we were like, I think it would really depend on the kid. Like, if the kid was responsible and like they were 5 years old and said like, hey, I really, really, really want to get my ears pierced, if they were responsible, we would be like, okay, like, you're going to have to clean it every day and it's going to hurt a little bit when you get it done. And, you know, you're going to have to be responsible for that, but like, we trust you. And so I think it's so interesting because there's so many laws that politicians are putting on kids and families where they're not even allowing parents to decide with doctors what their kids are allowed to do. And that to me is, you know, not freedom, not America, not liberty and justice for all. And I think it's all very unconstitutional. So it's really hard right now in Tennessee, especially, you know, with the gender affirming care.
The ban for young people under 18 year olds.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's tough. I think that should not be up to politicians. I think it should be up to doctors and parents and the kids themselves. You know, they all should be able to make those decisions together.
And
go ahead, Allie.
It's just so interesting too that you like bring up that analogy of like making your own decisions for your own kids, because then when you look at like other laws that they're trying to put in place, like book bans and things like that, it's like, or like teachers, like the Don't Say Gay law, they're like, oh, like teachers can't, because like to protect the parents, I mean, and have the parents have the conversation with their own kids. It's like, it's just all so twisted.
It's also double standard.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to let the parents decide this, but we're not going to let the parents decide this.
Right.
We're going to let a parent make a complaint about a book or however many number of books, and we're going to pull all those books no matter what other parents say, but right. we're not going to let you take care of your child or your teenager who's trans, and they, I mean, they require gender-affirming health care to really so that they are happy and feel like they can be the person that they truly are.
And so that they don't unalive themselves.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, and then you, Tennessee, I mean, speaking of government interfering in medical decisions, Tennessee has an extremely strict abortion ban too.
Yeah. That was another thing. So my wife and I, just being completely open and honest, we're going through egg freezing right now. And we totally considered not having the pregnancy in Tennessee. Obviously, we have to work really, really hard to have a kid. You know, we have to, I've given my mom, I've given my wife probably 45 shots this week of hormones, you know, getting these little baby follicles to become little eggs. And we have to work so, so hard to have a child. We would never choose to abort a child because we didn't want the child. We would only choose that option if the baby, that was the only option, or if it was going to cause a risk to my wife's health or the baby's health, or all these things. There's so many things that aren't because of unwanted children, but abortion, all of those things go under the same abortion umbrella. The one good thing and the reason that we decided that we were comfortable having children in Tennessee is they did recently pass a law that says that if a woman's life, if a mother's life is at risk, you are able to abort the child in the state of Tennessee. Okay. So that was kind of our deciding factor. But all of that being said, you know, it's, again, it's politicians making choices for people, and it's just not right. It so goes against everything that America was founded on.
Now I saw, I'm not sure if it was when you were at the GLAAD Awards or if it was another post that you had shared, but I recall seeing on one of your Instagram posts, you wrote that you're kind of like, you and Hillary's almost like 10-year plan, 10-year goal is to make sure that the world is a safe place for LGBTQ plus people. What are you both doing other than, of course, your music and like sharing your story to help, you know, make that the truth?
Yeah. Well, for me, I think so much of the stereotype that's put on homosexuality and coming out and all these things. Our goal is that in 10 years, kids won't have to come out as being gay. They'll just be able to date whoever they date, love whoever they love, marry whoever they want to marry. And for us, it's just about showing up. It's about speaking out. Because I think that so much of the prejudice that is against the LGBTQ plus community is just that we have been silenced for so long that people don't know that they know queer people.
Right? Yeah.
And so once you put a human experience, a human story behind the stereotype of what a gay person is supposed to be, all of a sudden you become human to people and they understand that you're just living your life and loving whoever you choose to love just like they are. And so for me, it's just about speaking out, especially in country music. You know, it's been kind of a faux pas for years to be queer in country music. And now it's becoming less of that. It's becoming more and more accepted, more and more supported. And therefore there's more representation, there's more visibility. People in small towns are able to, you know, look at me or look at TJ Osborne or look at Lily Rose and say, wow, they're living very happy, successful lives. You know, maybe our kid isn't doomed for the rest of their lives just because they love right. somebody of the same sex. And so, yeah, for us, it's just about speaking out, standing up for who we are and and for our community.
Yeah. I also think too, that the allies in country music matter so much. Yes. Like just as important, you know, to have Maren Morris, to have Garth Brooks, and these like big wigs really.
To have Trisha Yearwood actually officiate at your wedding.
Yes. I mean, it was so amazing. Garth sang us down the aisle and Trisha. Oh, wow. Yeah, it was so wild. And then also, you know, in 2021, I had just come out, Hillary and I had just gotten engaged, and Trisha called me and was like, hey, the 30th anniversary of She's in Love with the Boy is this year. And I've always had people come up to me after shows and say, hey, I know that this isn't how you sing it, but I sing He's in Love with the Boy, or I sing She's in Love with the Girl. Oh, and she's nice. Like, I've always wanted to support that in some way, but just didn't know how, didn't have the appropriate way of doing it. And I would be so honored if you would sing She's in Love with the Boy turned She's in Love with the Girl with me on the Grand Ole Opry stage in Pride in June for Pride Month.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm emotional.
That's incredible.
Oh, I know. I mean, it was such an emotional night to not only, you know, have Trisha want to do that and really, you know, step in her words and not just say love is love, but show that love is love. But to do it on the Grand Ole Opry stage with the support of the Grand Ole Opry and all of the audience that goes to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
It truly was such a monumental night for me, and just like this full circle moment. I remember singing that song when I was a little kid, you know, and to be able to sing it about my life and have Trisha up there like singing it with me was just the coolest experience. So yeah, I mean, if you look at country music as a whole, the greatest of all time, let's talk Garth Brooks, Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, Trisha Yearwood. These are the people that have always been on the right side of history. Yeah. They've always been the ones that have stood up for marginalized communities and have been the most inclusive people. And I think that's why they've lived as long as they have as the greatest of all time, is because you can see that they are the people that want everyone to be invited to the party.
Yeah. I could not agree more.
Yeah. And that's just, it's so important. And I think it's so important that in the country world, which I think was perceived for so long as being very conservative. And so to have that kind of acceptance now is, you know, just, I think, a wonderful example to the rest of the entire country. Why do you feel though that we're seeing, you know, like 500 bills this year, like this just tsunami of anti-LGBTQ plus legislation coming, well, I'll say it, from the Republican Party. And a lot of it is in states. Like, it's not right now at the federal level, they actually reaffirmed the right to marry. They passed legislation that gay marriage must be accepted across the country. Why do you think that's happening? Do you have any sense?
Yeah, I think that, you know, anytime that we see a lot of progression, there's always this minority group that gets really, really loud and wants to reel things back in and like pull everything back. And so I think that we've just seen so much forward progress. I think, you know, with the codifying of marriage equality and people feeling more able to come out and be themselves fully. I think that, you know, when I was growing up, there were no same-sex couples on TV. Mm-hmm. I think the first same-sex couple I ever saw on TV was on Grey's Anatomy, and they were like always breaking up, and it was kind of this like tumultuous relationship. And now you have movies, TV, books, there's so much that has, you know, same-sex couples. And so you're seeing so much more representation and visibility, and all of a sudden people are like, everyone's gay now. And it's like, no, it's not that more people are gay, it's just that more people are open, mm-hmm. more people are living their lives truthfully and authentically and not being silenced. And so it's not that more people are gay, it's just that more people are being themselves. And right. So I think that with that comes, you know, people saying, oh, we want traditional America. What is traditional America? There's no way to say it. Traditional America is, you know, 50% of people that get married get divorced. Is that what we want? You know, like there is no traditional America. The thing about America is that we come from all different places and we are all so, like, we have so many different realities, but we all come together as one United States. And so for me, I think that it's so important that we allow people to be themselves. And that's a way that all of our abilities are going to be used for the best of our nation, of our country. And so I just think that, you know, when you see so much progression, we're going to see a little bit of regression. But at the end of the day, I do think that we are going to see a lot more things like what happened with the trans bill in Tennessee. It got ruled unconstitutional. You can't do things that go completely against our constitution over and over and over again. So I have a lot of hope, even though there's so many bills, so many anti-LGBTQ bills on the docket right now, I still have so much hope for our future and our near future.
Well, I also think it's been very, I think it's been really disheartening to see that there's fear to even in certain states to even celebrate Pride Month. Like in Florida, you know, there was a lot of concern about having the Pride Parade and in other, again, other red states.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is scary. There's, like I said, there's this minority pocket that is being really, really loud. Like, yeah, you know, you have the Proud Boys and like these just outlandish, truly terrorist groups that are trying to, you know, scare people and just incite fear. And I think that what's amazing is that Pride hasn't been canceled. You know, we keep on living our lives. We keep on celebrating our true selves and the love that we found within our community. And we're kind of the last group that's going to back down. So, yeah, as scary as that is, I think that it's also ignited this kind of fury of love as well. You know, when hate rises, love just has to rise louder. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what I'm seeing. I've performed at a few Pride events this June already, and it's more celebrated than ever, I think.
Good.
Now, when it comes to your new music, obviously the rest of the Outlaw Love EP has been about your wife as well and just freedom to love. I love Whispering. I think that is such a good one. It's a bop. And it's just, it tells such a great story. What gave you the confidence to not only come out, but also to bring that into your music?
Yeah. You know, I think that like, I just was playing this role for so long. I was playing this role that I thought I was supposed to be versus just being myself. And once I finally gave myself permission to be myself, I just haven't really been able to shut up about it. And so I just felt like,
you're not whispering.
I'm not whispering. Yeah. I just felt like it was so important for, you know, my community to hear their stories in country music. You know, TikTok has opened up my world to a whole, you know, so many people from around the world that are just like, oh my gosh, you're telling my story. Like, I finally can hear my story in country music. And I think the light bulb went off in my brain last summer when I was singing at Pride festivals and I was singing 90s country covers. Like I sang Strawberry Wine, for example.
Yeah.
And the entire audience was singing it back with me. And I was like, wow, there's such a need for queer country music. There's mm-hmm. such a need for, you know, we were going through, you know, country songs for our first dance. And my wife and I could not find one that felt like our story because it was always a guy singing about a girl or a girl singing about a guy. And so I decided I was going to write a first dance song for the LGBTQ community, which also could be for any heterosexual couple, mm-hmm. you know? So I think it's interesting that the queer community has listened to, you know, heterosexual country our whole lives and tried to find ourselves within that. And now I think that, you know, there's this new wave of queer country music where heterosexual people can still see themselves in that as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been so freeing to be able to tell my true story, say the real pronouns, talk about my wife, and get to hear back from so many fans that, you know, they finally are able to see themselves and hear themselves in country music.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. Speaking of beautiful, can we hear a little more about your wedding? Is the videos that you've got on your Instagram where you're both in white dresses, are those from your real wedding?
Yes. So interestingly enough, we actually ended up having three weddings accidentally. Yeah.
I was going to ask, I was like, how are these photo shoots? And they just like, I was actually curious.
Yeah. So I'll explain to you kind of what happened. So we wanted to get married in Mexico, but you can't legally get married in Mexico and have it be legal in the States. So right. We're like, cool, we're just going to do a small ceremony in Nashville with our families, like immediate families, brothers, sisters, and parents. And so we asked Trisha to officiate that wedding. And during that process, she was having a really hard time getting ordained in the state of Tennessee because they're making it really hard for people. Uh-huh. And at the same time that was happening, the Roe v. Wade got overturned. So we were like, okay, we might need to get legally married in California anyways. So we actually, how it went down was, we got legally married in California, just at a courthouse, just the two of us. So there's like literally a picture of us in jeans and white TikToks. That's our legal ceremony in California.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, and then like a few weeks later, we had our small intimate ceremony with just our immediate family and Garth and Trisha. And that was like, you know, our families haven't gone to spend a lot of time together. Hillary's from Indiana. I'm from Florida. So it was just such an amazing weekend for our families to really get to bond. And our nieces and nephews all got to meet each other. And it was so sweet. And then 2 months after that wedding, we had like our big wedding in Mexico with all of our friends and family. There was like 150 people that came from the States down to Mexico to celebrate with us. And so that's how that ended up happening. It was not supposed to be like that intense, but yeah, we accidentally had like two different wedding photo shoots because we had two weddings.
So it's so interesting you say that though about getting ordained in Tennessee, because I'm getting married at the Country Music Hall of Fame next September, but we are going to do City Hall here in New York because we have a friend marrying us and they have made it very difficult to get ordained. And apparently part of the reason is because of the LGBTQ+ laws.
Yes.
At a lot of places, that's how they're trying to like thwart the... Yes. Being able to be married, because I mean, a Catholic church won't do it. Rabbis will, but like a reform rabbi. Yeah. But I've just learned a lot about that.
Yeah. There are some affirmative churches that will marry you and like the pastors will marry you, but they're few and far between. And I just think that it would be such like a hard thing to go into churches and have to ask, like, will you marry us? Will you marry
us? Yeah.
And so I totally feel your pain. And yeah, Tennessee was one of the reasons that, you know, couples took the country to court basically for marriage equality, because gay couples were not able to get married in Tennessee. It was like one of the four states that were being sued that actually ended up with allowing marriage equality, with allowing gay marriage. So yeah, Tennessee is one of the hardest states, and they also passed a law recently where a clerk that gives out the marriage certificates can choose to not give you a marriage certificate if it goes against their beliefs.
Yes, I saw that. And that to me should be, again, unconstitutional. And also that should be in contradiction or contravention to the new federal law. that says that gay marriage needs to be recognized in every state.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot that they're trying to get by with, a lot that they're trying to slide under the radar. And so I think it's really important that we talk about it, because truly, you know, I'm realizing, before I realized that I was gay, I didn't know any about any of this, mm-hmm. you know, and still, like, we are having to, like, educate our straight friends and, like, our parents and our siblings and stuff like that, just because if you're not fully ingrained in this community, and if it doesn't fully affect your rights, you're worrying about other things.
Right. You know? Yes.
So I think it's really important to talk about these things, because I think that people are like, you know, some people are ask, wait, is it even legal for gay people to get married in the United States? And then some people are like, oh, hasn't that been legal for forever? You know? And so if you're not, like, right in, if you're not deep into it, they make it kind of difficult to really understand what's going on.
Yeah. I think so much of it is about proximity to the situation. And, like, if you know people who are gay, you're like, yeah, like, of course, like, gay marriage. But if you, like, don't know anybody who's gay, you're kind of, you don't understand. You're not. And so I think that that is, like, a big thing right now too. I don't know how you talk about that, but
yeah, education and real information, not misinformation. And also, like, not the exaggerated versions of things. I feel like for me, I always try to get to the truth. I try to not polarize things and just get down to, like, the real meat of the situation and the legislation, so that it's not, we have enough polarization. I'm always trying to just, like, tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it also, in terms of these, Republican legislators, like, there's so many other problems that they could be focused on to make people's lives in Tennessee and everywhere better.
Like the mass shootings that happen almost every single day and absolutely weekly in our country right now. And that doesn't happen in any other first world country. Nope. Why is this happening? You know, why is this happening in America? We are supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and yet we are worried about our kids going to school because of getting shot. That's terrifying. Like, there's so many things that need to be taken care of before we worry who somebody is kissing in their own damn house.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Cannot agree more. Will your EP become a full record? If you can.
That is my hope. Yeah, I'm in the process of writing for that right now. So that is what I hope. Yes.
Amazing.
And where can our audience be able to see you perform?
Yeah, so I'm going to be at Out Loud Festival here in Nashville, Tennessee on September 17th, actually September 16th. And I like to say that date because it's still 3 months out and you can buy tickets now. So I feel like that's the one that I like to tell people about. But I'll also be at New York City Pride next week. And
oh, great.
Yeah. So this month has been insane. It's been so much fun. I played the Today Show last week and got to meet
Hoda. We saw.
And so, yeah, it's been an amazing month, and getting to release this music, who knows where we go next.
Well, Brooke, it's been so great to talk with you, and, you know, we wish you all the best, and we wish you and your wife Hillary all the best on your family plans. It's like good to know that you're working on all your eggs. And congratulations again on Outlaw Love and your new EP. And we'll all look forward to seeing you perform at the Pride event in New York, and then the
Out Loud Festival,
September 16th.
Yes.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us, Brooke. We'll have to have you on again soon.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.